Okay, turn to Numbers chapter 20. Numbers chapter 20 is where we're going to read. Okay, main verse here. Let me get this. Nigel, you read Numbers 27 through 12. Brian, you're going to read Numbers 20, verse 7. Can you read Numbers 20, verse 12? Tony, Mark, 1 Peter 2, 23. Okay, stories told of a little girl that went to church for the first time, heard the preacher preach, and in the middle of the service, she asked her daddy, "Why is that man shouting at the people? Does he want to take them out and give them a spanking?" And that sometimes is how a sermon can feel, is if the preacher is just shouting at the people because of emotion. And the text that we're going to read, Moses alters his destiny because he allowed his emotions to interfere with his ministry to the people. So this is going to be one of those you file away for the future. I'm dealing with preaching and the subject of preaching. If you become a preacher, pastor someday, we're talking about emotions in preaching. Numbers 20, verse 7 through 12.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Take the rod, you and your brother Aaron, gather the congregation together, speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock, and give drink to the congregation and their animals." So Moses took the rod from before the Lord as he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, "Hear now, you rebels, must we bring water for you out of this rock?" Then Moses lifted his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came out abundantly, and the congregation and their animals drank. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, "Because you did not believe me to hallow me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them."
Okay, emotions in preaching. Let's talk about emotions and the message. We are emotional creatures. We feel things. That's one of the great things of being human, is you can feel. There's all kinds of wonderful feelings, emotions that you can have, whether they are natural and inbuilt, or whether they, you know, some people naturally feel all kinds of good emotions, or whether it's a reaction when something happens wonderful. Emotion is very normal. If you are absolutely have no emotion, there's probably something wrong in you. But the problem is many feelings that we feel are negative. They're not good. We feel fear, pain, sorrow, disappointment, irritation, anger, outrage, resentment, confusion, depression, and probably more that I didn't have on this list. And so if you want to be a preacher, in the scripture, Moses hears a message from God. That is, speak to the rock and water will come out. And then, of course, when you hear a message, your job is to accurately deliver to people what you hear. But in the scripture, emotions affect perceptions. What you see is determined often by what you feel. Verse 7, Numbers 20, verse 7.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying.
Okay, so. The one I was after is take the rod and speak to the rock before their eyes. So hearing the message, but then what he said were two different. What happened between, okay, got it, God, and then what you say, and the difference was emotion. So it affected what he heard. Emotion can do that. It'll affect what you see. And by what you feel, by it, all of these kinds of things. So, if you, in emotion, and some of the common ones to preachers is irritation and anger. If you're irritated and angry, then what they see, even when they read the Bible, is irritations and things that make them angry. And so this is fascinating. We just did sermon workshops. Is generally, that is, pastors getting together. We're teaching them, instructing them something about preaching. Then we put together sermons, and fascinating to me. Some guys, you know, any input, what they want to add in is, yeah, Judas hung himself. And the rebels, and, you know, they had to cut the heads off the prophets of Baal and Jezebel. And that's what they, that's, so they're reading the same book that I'm reading, but their irritation is causing them to see things that totally different than perhaps I'm seeing. Matter of fact, there's a pastor, I challenged him one time. I'm hearing him preach, and in his preaching, he's taking personal shots at people who have disappointed him. He's talking about Judas and Jezebel and all. So I challenged him, like, bro, why don't you just preach on the love of God? Why don't you preach something good? And he looked mystified. He said, if I take those things out, what else is there to preach? So, and one of the things that can happen is irritation, emotion can cause you to miss what's going on in your people's lives. Proverbs tells us to know the state of your flocks. You got to know what's going on. Have you been here this year in COVID, when there is an incredible amount of fear and confusion and uncertainty? You have heard lots of sermons that are encouraging. That's deliberate, because that's what's going on in the flock. When people are confused and hanging on by a fingernail, that's not the time to bash on Jezebel. Okay? So, but if irritation, anger will cause you to miss that, not even realize, you're just looking at what is ticking you off. And a great danger for preachers is to come to the point when every sermon is three things that tick the pastor off. That's Moses here. All he's doing is, I'm irritated. Let me tell you what's irritating me about you. And that's not healthy. Emotions do a second thing. They make the message personal. So it affects your perception. Secondly, it makes the message personal. Verse 10, must we fetch water out of the rock? So now he's taking God's word. God told him to do something. He's taking God's word and using it as a way of beating on people who have wounded his honor, whatever. So listen, the word of God is not about you. It's about God. And it's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. In the scripture, God didn't say, Moses, I want you to do whatever you think best, whatever you're feeling. No, God said. So emotions make the message personal. Thirdly, they affect our delivery. Verse 10 and 11, Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation. Hear now, you rebels, must we fetch water out of the rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with the rod he smote or struck the rock twice. So what begins with a message from God, now Moses turns it into a beating. Right? You rebel, must I? So this is sometimes how men can preach. It's clear when they're preaching, they're upset about something. And there may be people in the church have no idea what he's upset about, but something is clearly irritating. We had Marvin Wells last week before. Remember the story he told of when he first came? Imagine this. You've just come to the church, and the man who was pastoring at that time, he's not in the fellowship anymore, but he said he would preach totally angry, and it would cause Marvin to ask a guy, did I do something? Why is he angry? Did I do something wrong? And the guy, you know, that he was preaching in encouragement, the guy would say, no, he's just trying to make a point. Well, I'm glad. That was awesome that he had his friend encouraging. But why did his friend have to do that in the first place? This guy's preaching. A sermon is a beating. That is not what a sermon is. Let's talk secondly about damaging emotions. So one of the myths, and you can write this down so that you never say it. And that is, through the years, I've heard men say, I preach better when I'm angry. I've also had people tell me that they dance really good when they're drunk, but that's not true. You think that you're dancing great, But everybody else thinks you're an idiot, right? You're making a fool of yourself. I kind of feel that about preachers who think I preach hot when I'm angry. Is nobody else thinks so. That's just you. So, unhealthy emotion damages people's ability to hear from us. So, if your emotion is offending people unnecessarily, I have no problem telling people the truth. Of course, what I preach sometimes will not be appreciated because it's convicting. That's fine. But that's because the word is convicting, not because I preach it in a demeaning, attacking, angry way. That's two very different things. So, Peter whacked off Malchus' ear with his sword, right? So if you cut somebody's ear off, what's the natural result? They're not going to be able to listen to you very well after you just chop their ear off, right? And that is true in preaching. You want to make sure you don't chop off the people's ability to hear. What a shame. You undermine all the other good things. Moses, what a guy, man. He went and stared down Pharaoh. Awesome. Believe God. Get miracles. Get him across the Red Sea. Food from heaven. All that. And yet, his emotion winds up ruining his ministry. That's foolish. That doesn't make sense. And then finally, unhealthy emotion stops the blessing of God in our ministry. So, God doesn't bless us when we dishonor him. What's interesting in this scripture is that he says that that I may be hallowed. In other words, people's opinions of God are affected by how you're acting. And God says that's not acceptable. Okay, you're upset, you had a bad day, you're mad about something, so you're speaking like a jerk. So the problem is they think God's a jerk by the way you're treating them. And God says that's absolutely not acceptable. So when you are giving God a bad reputation, then you come to him and say, God bless me, give me fruitfulness, help my life, give me miracles and money. And God says, no, that's not how it works. So it damaging. What happens in guys who have unhealthy emotions in ministry or pastoring is it limits the size of your ministry. Now, there are people, they like to be beat, right? There are masochists in the world. Hey, preach your heart, brother. So my observation is, number one, anybody who is really like that, yeah, I like it, tell us straight, jam us, you know, rip our heads off. I generally discover that kind of person is not doing it. They think, yeah, we did it because I let him beat on me for a while. Why don't you just do it? And he wouldn't have to beat on you, right? So there will be a small number of people who like, you can be as rude as you like, you can jam, you can do whatever you want, and they will keep coming back, but very few. So emotion in ministry has a self-limiting factor. So what you're going to need is masochists who like someone to beat on them. That's the only kind of people you have in your church. Hopefully there's very few of those in the world, right? And then you derail your ability to go on ministry. Verse 12, you will not bring this assembly into the land. So I had plans for you. You can't fulfill it, not because I don't have power to fulfill it, but because your emotion caused damage. Let's look finally at controlling emotions. In the Bible, God requires men, and especially men of God, to control their emotions. 1 Timothy 3 gives us the famous qualifications for being a pastor. Three of those are emotional: temperate, sober-minded, not quarrelsome. All of those are having the ability to control your emotions. You want to be a man of God, you have to learn. All kinds of emotions have to be controlled. And so sometimes God demands that men of God put their emotions aside and function. Why? For the good of the people. I don't care if you feel. The people need. I'm upset. I don't care if you're upset. The people need. Two times in the Bible, God forbid his ministers, Aaron and Ezekiel, Aaron, his sons died, Ezekiel, his wife died, and God forbid them to mourn. That's a rough rule. You will not. You're going to go and you're going to keep on functioning. And of course, Old Testament, that's extreme. There's nothing wrong with mourning. in death, but he's making a point. God is greater than what you feel, and the needs of people are greater than what you feel. So, if you can control your emotions, you're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. How many of you here, you'll be honest for a minute, by a show of hands, how many of you here, your emotions have caused you trouble in the past? That's anger, or, you know, depression, whatever. Okay, so if you could learn to control your emotions, you'll save yourself a lot of trouble. You ever said something stupid because of how you're feeling, and then later on, there, man, I shouldn't have said that. Well, if you could have controlled yourself in the first place, you wouldn't have needed to apologize or what else. And then, of course, if what I said earlier is true, if your emotion causes people to resist you, they get up, they don't like how you're speaking, so they won't receive you, then if you can control your emotions, you have a better chance of people receiving what you have to say. Then when we control our emotions, God blesses our ministry. Jesus Christ is the ultimate example. 1 Peter 2:23. There you go.
Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to that judgment, judgeth righteously.
Okay, so I like this. I think in the New Living Translation or New Century, when they hurled their insults at him, he didn't retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. So there is a blessing of God on that. And in my ministry, I've had through the years, you know, people are people. Sometimes they are irritating. I've had people that I've had enough of them. Seriously, I'm everything within me wants to tell them what I think of them, but I don't, and I pray and leave it to God. And sometimes I've had those people that were extremely irritating at one point, but God did a miracle in them. They moved on. So I think, it was a good thing that I didn't act how I felt like acting. Instead, I let God help and do that. And then, of course, when you control your emotions, it gives you credibility with people. There's some people, I don't know if you understand this, ministry people are watching you all the time. They watch everything you do, everything you say, how you act. They're paying attention even if you don't realize it. And years ago, we went through right in a row. We had some deaths in the family. I had to discipline my daughter. Numbers of things going on all at the same time. Sometime later, I don't know, a year later or whatever, somebody in Sunday school made a comment, and they were referring to what was going on in the pastors at that time. And they said, it gives me peace and confidence when we see the pastors function in spite of what they're feeling. So I wasn't doing right so that. I was doing right because it's right. Pastor Mitchell was doing right because it's right. But what was happening is people were watching that. Right? And, you know, there would have been people, if I said, I don't have a sermon tonight, I am upset. There would have been people, I hear you, dude. Yeah. But it gives people confidence. You function. That helps them. And then, this is how it works out in life. Years ago, as a young pastor, I read a book by a pastor named Vance Havner, famous old preacher. In one of the sermons in it, it's the sermon he preached a couple hours after his wife died. Think about it. His wife dies, he gets up in the pulpit and he preaches. I remember reading that and I was like, no way. How could you do that? But then I see this. I see Pastor Lamb was able to preach the funeral for the death of his son. You know that I preached the men's discipleship a few hours after Pastor died. And so you do that because it's right, but it's interesting. I would receive comments from people. They took note of that, that you function, you do right, regardless of what's going on in your life. So that helps you. And that is my lesson on emotions in preaching. Okay, I'm going to open for some questions then. Something you want to know? Something you want to ask about the Zach?
So how do you preach on issues that maybe do bother you or they are irritating at that time without being, you know, without letting your emotion show?
Well, I mean, first rule of thumb, if you can't, don't. You know, if you can't control it, don't. And then you have to honestly look at it. Is this genuinely true? Or so there's something that is extremely irritating to me. I might leave it for a while until I cool down. Secondly, I have to be honest. Is this really a problem, or is that just what I'm feeling? And then, of course, you have to try to restrain. And that's part of it in preaching, that you don't. And part of that is having a good wife. You know, my wife through the years has helped me. You know, today you preach with your arrogant face. that's great. You know, you seem like you were angry. Those are things. And so, yeah.
Is there a certain word you stay away from? Let's say you're irritated and... It's
most four-letter ones I try not to.
Pastor saying, like, you people or something along those lines, is that where you...
Yeah, of course. That's you know, that's common sense in speaking, yeah. You people is never... In certain places, that would cause you a lot of problems, but yeah. So, yeah, you often what we're preaching is it's not like the preacher has never done or felt that, right? So... We, human nature, us, is a better plan than you. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Yeah. Get somebody else. Adrian?
Do you think Moses had an anger issue, or was it like the first few times he got mad?
Probably he had an, I mean, he did murder somebody, so I would say, I'm feeling happy, let me kill you. Yeah, so probably he did. I mean, human nature is he probably had an anger issue, yeah. That makes more sense. It would be a rough rule if it was like the first time you ever got mad. I've never been mad in my life. I got mad one time. That's it. Your destiny's over. So it does. There are things the Bible obviously doesn't tell us a lot of detail, but I think that's we can surmise that. Yep.
Can't we look at that? It also is where Moses says we... must bring out he's taken away from the glory of God,
yeah,
not just the
course.
Hollowing, and then the fact that he struck the rock, it's like he has some sort of a power that the rest of them didn't.
Possibly, but the hallowing is when you are making God look different by your anger, so that is definitely tied into it. So, somebody else.
This is really just a choice to put the needs of the of your own emotions.
Yes.
And stay a servant throughout. Yes. However you're feeling in life.
Yep. Yeah. So, and that doesn't mean that you never deal with. There are things that need to be dealt with, right? It doesn't mean that you never. You know, anybody can do anything wrong, and you're not going to say anything for fear. No. But there's a right way to do it. I'm just telling you, there's a lot of wrong ways to do it. Don't ask me how I know that. I read it in a book. Somebody else. Thinking. Yep.
I've heard sermons at, you know, conferences or men's rallies where it seemed like two guys preached a very similar sermon as far as what they were saying.
Yeah.
But their tone was way different. When you're talking about angry preaching, are you talking about mostly in delivery and tone and like demeanor, or in what you're saying about?
No. Like I said in the first place, is like I said, I challenge a man. What he is seeing when he reads the Bible is everything that irritates him. He's finding what he thinks is revelation, but really why he's even choosing that is because he's mad in the first place. So it affects that. And then, of course, in your delivery, yes. Both are true. Anybody else?
Is there ever a time to express your emotions?
Yes. Yeah, of course. I mean, if you are emotionless in preaching, you know, passion is a wonderful thing. You can be passionate, worked up about something, but it's much better to be worked up about evangelism, lost souls, right? And the greatness of God, than it is just irritations. Right? And, you know, in fairness to Moses, these people would have been extremely irritating, right? So there's nothing wrong with emotion. As I said, people who are emotionless, there's something stunted inside. That's you need professional help if you feel no emotions. And you don't stir, but all I'm just saying is irritation and anger are unhealthy emotions in preaching. It doesn't work well.
In the story, God spoke to Moses what he was supposed to do, and he acted out of emotion to do it. So have you ever had it where God has spoken for you to preach a sermon, but you backed it out of emotion and preach a sermon
wrong? Oh, I've done many, 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 many things wrong. Yes. And you fill in the blank. I've probably done it at some point in time. The point is you mature, you age, you deal with your own insecurities and everything. So sure, I've done lots of things wrong. That's my joke. Don't ask me how I know. I know this from personal experience. This is not something I got out of a book. Right? But I learned it didn't work well. So, yep.
You mentioned that you'll preach and it's convicting, so someone might be offended. And, you know, but you're preaching with conviction versus emotions. How do you deal with someone that you're preaching out of conviction and the word, you're preaching facts, you're not actually getting angry and causing problems, and you know for a fact that you're not offending people, but there may be a couple or in the church or someone that's really offended all the time and possibly even causing problems, you know, just getting really upset if you raise your voice or just getting offended by anything because they're taking it personally or think you're attacking them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a whole lengthy process. Obviously, praying for that person is, you know, you begin, they need help, right? They need help, they need healing. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding you can clear it up. And then there's things that people are because of what I said, what's in you will determine what you see and how you deliver it. On the other hand, the Bible says what's in you will affect how you hear. There are people that are offended at everything a pastor says because there's something wrong in them. So I'm not sweating that. You know, that's part of pastoring. I will not please everybody. And I settled that a long time ago. So I don't have to be tormented by, if someone is irrationally and they don't, I've tried to work it out and I can't, then that's on you. I'm gonna sleep at night. I'm not gonna be tormented by somebody who's constantly upset at me either. Because that's a non-fixable issue. I cannot fix someone's insecurity. I can't fix rebellion. All I can do is pray, but then that's up to you to deal with as well. Yep.
Do you think it would have been the same outcome for Moses if he didn't display he had that emotion in him.
Yeah.
If he had not displayed it to the congregation, if you will, the people, but went to God with it, would he have had the same result?
The same result as far
God
as...
God would have...
Not... Are you talking about... In this case, the negative result was he was not able to enter in the promised land.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it tells us, apparently that was not the original plan. The original plan was for him to go into the promised land. Mm-hmm. So would he, if he controlled himself, theoretically, of course we're...
And then just went to the Lord with that emotion.
Yeah. Or would have just restrained his emotion.
So it was his public display of emotion that was judged.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, you can feel all kinds of things in private, you know.
And you can take those things to the Lord, just, yeah. You don't.
First rule of thumb in life, don't say everything you feel, ever. that's not good. I can have a lot of things in here. If it doesn't come out, it gives me time to work it out, right?
Yeah.
Once you say it, it's done. Now you have a whole range of problems.
So if you're that guy, but how do you change the way that you see things?
Well, you gotta work out why. So number one is the two biggest factors that affect perception. Number one is insecurity. When you have unhealed insecurity, it affects everything in life. Everything you see, everything you hear, everything you say is first of all the insecurity that is eating away at you. Somebody disrespected you. Somebody treated you badly. Someone didn't affirm you. Whatever. In life, however you were made to feel insecure, when you don't deal with that, it absolutely affects everything. So that must be, that's why it's crucial I deal with men. You've got to deal with insecurity. You got to get healed of that. You got to get rid of your rejection issues, your daddy issues, however you want to put it. It must be healed, which God can. So it doesn't matter. I mean, God, we have every form of background in life, every form of trauma. So you can be healed and you can get over that. For me, he asked about problems. Many of my mistakes, they were rooted in my own insecurity. That's number one. The second thing that causes you more problems than anything else is pride. Pride is, how dare you not appreciate me? How dare you disrespect me in any way? And that's we feel we're worth more. I'm special. How dare you? When it's life, everybody is disrespected and all that. So pride resents. Pride quickly. What does it say? Proverbs says only by pride comes contention. So pride will make you upset easily. Well, think about it. Why is it somebody driving down the road and someone changed lanes without indicating and the other guy wants to beat them to death or pulls a gun? That's a little extreme for a lane change. So he's taking it personal, right? I know why you turned into my lane. It was a plot. You think I'm worthless. No, he didn't see. He was picking his nose. I don't know. Right? So pride. Those are two things. So the answer to those is repentance. Right? So you've got to first of all repent of your pride, and second of all healing. You must get healing if that's caused by a wound. Yep. Then that makes you able. So in the last verse we read, what did Jesus do? He did not, when he was insulted, and he didn't threaten. The Bible says, but he committed himself to the one who judges justly. And part of the reason why we take action is because we think it's our job to sort them out. I learned a long time ago, I can't change anybody. So if you think it's your job, then it is. You've got to hammer more because it's my job. You're not praying enough, reading enough, witnessing enough, giving enough, and my job is to make you do it. So that's what Moses is, I'm going to make you not be a rebel. But you can't. Only God can do that. So, therefore, by committing to God, he's the one. As I said, there are people that they irritate me. I committed them to God, and God got a hold of them. They changed. It's a much better plan. The Holy Spirit is much better at changing than I am. And that is the understatement of the century. So, good. Somebody else.
So this would be something that we should be working on in ministries and witnessing, yeah, and all of that?
Absolutely. Every area of life, every area of ministry, if you recognize that you quickly take offense, that you speak to people rudely, that's the process of life and discipleship, is God is shaping you and preparing you. You're learning. When I was in a band, we went on out-of-town outreach for the first time, and the guy who is in charge of the hall, I'm giving him what I thought were basic directions, and the guys in the band said, you ticked him off. Well, that was good for me. I was like, wait, I need to check how I speak. I'm speaking to people in such a way that's offending them? That's not good, right? right? So everything in life. That's why God puts you in. And some of you work jobs and your boss is mean. Good. That's helpful. You work with people that are unreasonable right now. You're in ministry with people who irritate the snot out of you. Those are not bad things. Those are all good. Because they bring out what's in you. I'm a loving Christian until you do something I don't like. The Hulk comes out. Maybe Hulk is not good. Maybe I should deal with Hulk inside, right? So, you know, you definitely, that's the point of teaching you this now. Of course, in preaching, this is a file away. But the preparation of the heart, these are issues you no doubt deal with right now. So deal with it so that you get out. It's a much, it can go much better for you if you wanted to. Else.
In dealing with your emotions, is that in pastoring, does it take practice or is it something that you just have to pray about? I guess.
Again, if it's pride, it needs to be repented of. If it's insecurity, it needs to be healed of. But any self-discipline is a muscle. Right? Every time you say no to self, it's like lifting, it gets easier. Right? And so that's the way it is. The more you learn to shut your mouth, the easier it becomes to shut your mouth. In the first, it might be very, very difficult. Yeah. Good. Somebody else? Any other questions? Sorry? Oh, I didn't see your hand there. Yep. Well, there are things that need to be dealt with. I mean, one of the most basic skills in life is talking to the person that is offending you. Right? So that doesn't mean every little irritation in life you need to have a confrontation, but there are things that are eating away at you. Talk about it. When I don't even get that when people have marriage issues, family issues, church issues, whatever, and you know it's they're ready to commit murder, but they've never talked to the person. And they've never learned the skill of talking without making it a knockdown, drag-out fight, which is a skill. There's things you can do, things you can say to make the conversation go better. But that's part of life. That's why God wants you to be offended. Jesus said in Luke 17, it's impossible to not be offended. So obviously don't become bitter, but part of the process, Matthew 18, if your brother offends you, you go to him, you try to work it out. Not as an accusation. Listen, you stupid moron. You wisely. This is causing. We don't need this. We don't need to have this tension and conflict. Why? Let's fix it. Right? I just, in the past week, I think it was last week, had a conversation. A man that I've had numerous conversations with him through the years. He's got a guy that he says it's always tension. It's always problem. Always a battle. It's bled out to other relationships. And he said, I lose track of time, but it seems, maybe it was earlier this year, he had a conversation with the guys like, look, this is always happening. Come on, man. What is really going on? And finally got out of him what the guy's original offense was able to sort it out. He apologized. Look, that part of it, you're a little mistaken, but part of it, yeah, okay. I'm sorry. I want to have a good relationship, and I got a report this past week, is God has done a miracle in their relationship. And it's very getting along very good. Everybody else sees it. It's a blessing because he talked. He was able to have a conversation that wasn't a shouting, accusation, screaming fit. And that's healthy. So if you can't do that, I'm going to stuff it, which is I'm encouraging you to restrain your emotion, but that doesn't mean you should never deal with things. So do it in the right way. Preaching issues that may be offensive, do it in the right way. So that's how I have to preach before God, okay? That no doubt pierced people to the heart and somebody got upset about it, but not because I was offensive personally in my own emotion. That's where you want to get in preaching anyway. Good. Very good. Okay.